Point of information, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Greg, you've been using these two words interchangeably. One time you're saying dialogue, the other time you're saying debate.
Yes, because a debate is a dialogue.
Well, not necessarily.
No, not necessarily, but if it's conducted in a fair and disciplined manner, it doesn't necessarily lead to agreement, but at least it is clarifying.
Well, it is clarifying to the extent that a person is good enough of a debater.
Well, that's why it's important to pick the people who are articulate and presenting.
Well, what I'm saying is like this. Debate does not necessarily lead to a dialogue and understanding.
Mm-hmm. Can I jump in here?
And I think, and I'm not saying that it's not exciting. It's very exciting. What happens is, in a debate, mm-hmm. the central point becomes for the debater is, how do I win this point?
Yep. Can I?
And I'm not quite so sure if that creates a lasting understanding. It creates an exciting forum, no question. But anyway, so that's my
comment. That's a good point, but that is what we're doing now also.
I'd like to respond to what Sarf said because... Okay, one of the things is in a debate you usually are competing on opposite sides of the question, and very often in the goal of a dialogue is a synthesis so that the question changes. And really a lot of what comes out in debate is the framing of that particular statement. So for places where there's very clear polarization and different views, maybe you can state it. But if the goal is a synthesis, then I agree with Sarf. The debate might have a more open-ended question rather than an assertion that it's one way or another, mm-hmm. and the goal is to win. Teresa?
Mm-hmm. I just want to call to Greg's attention that he said, I will argue this. And... I really don't think he is arguing. I think he's brainstorming and coming up with some really good ideas. So you might want to think about your choice of words on that. And I think this is a good idea because I think that a lot of these issues we're just skirting, and we're not. I mean, I think if we work as a team, then people will give some thought to this. It will generate a lot of interesting discussions. And we might actually, as a board, because of the clarity of the discussion, maybe we might develop some ownership or find common ground on some of these things. Maybe we should be very careful not to have an and/or
framing
options. You know, maybe it should be three. But I think working as a team, some people are very good extemporaneous speakers, and so they're injecting comments and skirting these issues, or they might just jump out there and make a comment about an issue that's very eloquent, but because we're not planning to have those discussions, we're not really getting, I think, we're not really flushing out the whole ideas and having, as you said, a dialogue. So this is really exciting, and I really thought that the presentation at our retreat, that was a really good start, especially what we did on Sunday.
Well, we're about at time. I've written course
statement. Shall we add more time to it?
Well, hang on. I've written course statement dialogue down to that list, and I think that since it's part of the meeting thing, maybe we can proceed with the working group idea. We've noted the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pregnant with possibilities, and we'll need to talk about it some. I would ask that we would move the agenda, and that's been noted and will be included.
Okay. So you are including debate versus dialogue, because there's very,
yeah,
very
I framed
things.
It as core statement dialogue, and I'll put a subheading debate versus dialogue.
Yeah, because that's
a question mark.
Point of information.
We'll, go ahead,
Dave. Did you say something about pregnant?
No, I did not.
You're rare.
You're raising the point.
You've been in the car too long.
He's pregnant, and he's newly married, too.
All right. Do we need to take a time out and stretch a little? No.
Okay,
so I have all these notes down. I'll send them to the whole committee right now. The next thing is...
One item for that note.
Yes,
just I think the one exciting piece of dialogue that I'd like to see, if you could put it in your notes, is something about what is going to be Pacifica's mission in the 21st century. And for me, I'm hoping we can add it to the notes.
Okay, how about if I put it... Okay, great. What is going to be Pacifica's... What?
Pacifica's mission.
The 21st century.
Okay, got it. Okay, so the next thing is the CPB diversity requirements. Teresa had a motion on this. Do you want to read it, Teresa?
Oh, yes. Resolve that the coordinating committee immediately take up the issue of CPB diversity requirements and submit a plan to the PNB by April 3rd, 2006. The coordinating committee may refer this item to the COI. And the reason I'm saying this is because Lonnie has mentioned to me that the potential that we would lose our CPB funding, our minority status, because we have to satisfy two out of three categories. One, we have to have, correct me if I'm wrong, a majority of our listeners have to be minorities, at least 50% of our boards need to be minorities, or a majority of our staff need to be, 50% of our staff need to be minorities. And our staff is definitely 50% minority, but the CPB, 8 out of the 20 people right now are minorities, and if we take on the other two, unless they're both minorities, then we wouldn't satisfy that. And I guess Arbitron is telling us that at least 50% of our listeners are not minorities.
My understanding is that you have to qualify on two of three criteria.
Yes.
The three are it's staff, listenership, and board. And my understanding is that in listenership it's 35%. Does anybody know if that's right?
That's correct.
Okay.
But we're not satisfying that either.
Well, like at K we are. My understanding is we are at K, but...
It will vary from station to station. As you know, we're losing listeners, too. So we will have to know where we stand with that drop in listenership, which has been precipitous, say, at A, for example. But also, I think I've got an email from CPP saying that we have to identify the composition of our board by June 30th, so we do have a deadline. And if composition doesn't meet those requirements, we will, in October, see reduction in those funds. I think, Emily, as you mentioned, too, there may be other permutations other than just strictly the board.
Yeah, but it's important that we deal with this as expeditiously as possible. And the boards are extremely important. You know, we should commend Teresa because what she did last year was to resign from the board so that they could have some diversity down there. I don't know what we're going to do this year.
Mary Bird?
Hello, Dave, can you put Ray, please, when you finish?
I got Mary and then Ray.
Okay. Am I next?
Yep.
Well, I have understood that when you say boards, it's all the PNB and all the LSBs, right? And also the CABs.
I don't believe so. I think it's the governing board of the station, which in our case is the governing board of the network.
Okay, so it's only the PNB because somebody mentioned...
But there's a question as to whether or not that would be, whether CPB would be open to negotiation on that point.
Well, someone had at some point in the meeting, a couple of people had verified that we could use the CAB. They said that this is on the local board level. This is for the station level. Because we meet these criteria for the national, and then each of the stations has to meet the criteria to get the grant. Is that not the case?
Bonnie or Ambrose?
Right now I don't have that information. They're only talking to me about the national board and the three area staffs for this national board.
Well, we have some stations that are in minority status and some that are not on occasion.
Which ones, Lonnie, are presently qualifying? K, P, what else?
Is K qualifying now? Because one of the early indications was that K did not qualify.
Now, we're talking about the issue of whether or not the LSB board is qualified. I have no information on the LSB board.
I'm talking about the listenership.
What stations are presently qualified under the existing criteria?
In criteria before the latest arbitrage, I think I can't really say. I have not had them question me, at least, on whether the station on the listenership level qualify. I'm not assuming there's an issue. However,
since that arbitrage was done, the latest arbitrage, there hasn't been that analysis, so we'd have to do it to see if any station has fallen out of qualification of the listing.
Which ones presently are qualified? For which ones did we get the benefit this year?
We have the minority stations that all qualify.
You said
that
four?
That would be part of the five.
Four of the five. Which is the one that didn't qualify?
I think it's T.
But T just made it this year, I thought.
Yeah, they did have minority status, but they did it because of the staffing change.
Yeah. Ernesto.
Yeah, Ernesto.
Not just Ernesto.
Okay, but hang on. I'm trying to get clear. So is it the case now that with that change, every station in the network has qualified for the advantages that are conferred on majority-minority stations?
Well, I cannot say definitely. I'd have to look to see exactly how each station qualifies. Right now, the information that I am certain about is that the national board does not qualify.
Right. Who is going to be dealing with CPB and our various attorneys as this goes forward? Who's responsible for it?
It'll be the executive director, myself. And the paperwork items that have to go to the CPB around this stuff. So,
can I ask a question? Do you feel I'm feeling like we don't have enough information at this time to deal with any motion? Do other people feel differently?
Yeah, no motion here.
Well, I feel that way, and I'd like very much to get this information.
Greg, are you going to be able to get somebody there for the board meeting that can explain in detail what we need to be doing?
Well, we can just get it. Can't we get...
Hang on. When you say board meeting, Ambrose, do you mean the February 20th or do you mean the PNB in March?
I'm talking about PNB in March.
Oh, that's
I think we need to handle this before then.
I do, too.
Oh, I know.
I think we could get someone. I spoke to Carol Pearson this morning, and she might be able to be some help to us on that.
Who's Carol Pearson?
From the...
Head of the NFCB.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mary Berg on the staff.
Go ahead.
Ray was there.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ray. I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I'm being too polite today. Well, actually, I do have a problem with the way this motion is being formulated because people remember we have big fights and we still have problem with this issue. And what I fought for personally was not just numbers. I would not be happy if we put 10 Haitians on the board. So what I'm looking for is a genuine inclusion of our communities. I'm looking for inclusion. I mean, and hopefully, if they could be progressive, that would be a real, you know, that would be Christmas. But hopefully we don't just want money. And I realize that's a big need right now, but that we do commit ourselves to, because people might remember there was some statement made that I believe Lenny had made when he announced to us that we were falling short, that somehow he should have warned us. I think that begs the question that if we're committed, that is something that's important to us. That this is a living document that we're talking about, and we're really trying to bring real people, you know, to this system, to this network. And so that I would hope that the formulation of the motion would only address the financial aspect of it, but we commit ourselves to diversify this body. That's what I'm saying.
I'd like to say something. It's been said before. But it's very, very difficult when you're dealing with elections and giving people the right to elect who they really feel is correct to say from the result that you're biased or that you're, you know, prejudiced. It's very, very difficult to handle the issue of people. I mean, on the board, people were elected, and, you know, I thought we had very many, you know, fine candidates, but I can't make certain people vote for, I mean, I can't say that the Latinas voted for Latinas or by, you know, in other configurations. I can't guarantee that. That's really a challenge in elections like that. Now, selecting, you can say, you know, we have to do it this way, and you can watch how people individually vote. But Yalo Kuntambu came up with a suggestion as to how we could do it, but I thought it was very, very contrived, and I thought it would have been really complicated to enact it. So, thanks for listening.
Wait, can I say two more things? One more thing about that?
Please.
At what point would we consider the crisis? Suppose we had an election and no women were elected at all. Suppose there were no women or no people of color. Would we still say, well, you know, this is the will of the majority, so therefore we accept it? Or would we take, I realize we're not at that level, but would we consider serious steps to modify it? And I'm disappointed that the financial reason is why we're doing it. And again, that should be a side benefit. The main motivation should be that this is what we want to see happen. And therefore, how do we move backwards? This is the goal, and how do we make it happen?
By the way, on that point, how do we make it happen? Again, if two affiliate directors are elected who are both people of color, I heard eight right now on the board are people of color. My understanding is it's nine. And if two were elected from the affiliates, then the board would qualify, I believe.
But you're right, it's nine.
That is correct.
And so if one or none were elected who were people of color as affiliate directors, then there is the option of people resigning. The two LSBs whose delegations are not majority-minority are T, which has none, and ourselves, K, which has only one person, who's a person of color. The other thing that we were hoping would be investigated is whether in our governance structure, given the existence of LSBs, whether it might be possible for CPB to consider the total aggregate membership of our governance structure, particularly given that the LSBs are committees of the national board. So I don't know whether that's something that can be broached with CPB. I know CPB does have certain latitude. The last question is...
Does that make a difference?
Hold on a second. The last point is whether or not this question of timing, for example, whether we could get a waiver... for a certain period of time, at what point would we have to be in that situation and for how long, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that where we need to leave it is with the executives to flesh out with CPB, in contacts with CPB, what exactly our degrees of freedom are on this question.
I'm on the stack, right?
Oh, God. Mary M.
No, that's not my name.
Mary, go ahead. Somebody else is going to have to keep the stack because I'm getting foggy. Go ahead.
You can
Mary.
Say God backwards, though, and I'll respond better. Okay. Well, what I would like is some information on, I don't know how many of the stations have information. Thanks to Max Blanchet, we have information about the staff and everything at KPFA. But I don't know whether all the other stations do. When I was wanting information before, it wasn't so much having the thing explained to me. We need to know the requirements, but that we could get in writing. We don't need someone to talk to us about it necessarily. I need to see not just gossip or hearsay, but what is the actual requirement? What are the percentages that CPB requires and so on? And everyone is saying what this board is, but I looked at it. Now, maybe I wrote things screwy here, but if we consider the 20 people and not an affiliate, we have then we have got 10 minority people, and if we have we have 10 whites, and if we consider with Steve in there, then it's 11 whites, and the males we have we're male dominant, but still, but I don't know if they care about the male female thing.
They don't.
You said we have 10 people who qualify as people of color.
That's what I wrote down here.
Can we go to the stack?
Huh?
We don't have a stack anymore. Would you like to start?
No.
Is it time is up there?
The
other thing I just wanted to add, that this is what can we do about it is we can't just say, well, the ED can deal with it. Maybe he can for this time around, but... we're going to have elections again. How can we deal with this? We know we can't. We went through the whole affirmative action thing. to ask people to resign when they've been elected is a strange thing. I think we can only get back to the outreach, and we're going to have to do something very much more positive than just say we need to do outreach. We really have to have specific mechanisms in place at all the stations. You know, we're having an election come up this year. Where do we get the outreach to get the candidates that people will vote for?
Lonnie,
I don't know any other way to do it.
Lonnie, were you asking to be on the stack, or was that someone else's voice?
That was me again. Hoping to get on that stack.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think that that the pipeline is an issue. That is, people will get elected if there are no people of color in the pipeline. And, also, you know, that is both as a function of outreach and also as a function of people that we do have, that is people of color, coming on the boards and leaving. So just the pool, the size of the pool, which is shrinking. But it's also an issue that once folks are in Pacifica, we see attrition among people of color. Those are serious issues. But overall, I guess, my main point would be that this shouldn't be a matter of technicalities about resignations and interpretation of regulations. This is a matter of commitment. That is, I would hope that this committee would come out with a clear statement of their commitment to diversity in Pacific as an organization.
Can I get on the stack?
And I guess I'm asking that question. Where this is like the heart of our the issues that we were discussing before around core values for an organization. What are our core values, and how are we redoing and stating clearly what those commitments are?
Well, hold on, folks. If anybody wants to ask anything, let's wait till whoever's speaking has finished, because it's just too hard to
propose. Would it be out of the question to ask the committee to entertain a motion reaffirming Pacifica's commitment to diversity? I think that would have a solid impact on folks out there who are listening to not only this broadcast, but who are employees, staff, and listeners. So I pose the question, should pass and throw this committee right now affirming that commitment?
Okay, on.
Can I get on the stack?
Yes, Greg.
Excuse me,
hang on.
Do you want to extend time?
Hang on.
Greg?
Okay, we have, as far as I understand it, 6 more minutes on this item based on the time allotted to it. We can, if people want, extend time, but we also do have the 6 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Is there a motion to extend time?
I thought we were actually coming right up on time. Okay.
Okay, we'll wait a few more minutes to do that. Greg and then Ray.
If you want to pass a motion on diversity, you first have to have a common definition of what diversity is, and I don't think we're really even close to having that definition. If someone can go to a meeting of a national board and say that a station has achieved 100% diversity because a station has 100% people of color on its staff, I think the word diversity ceases to have meaning.
Ray.
Well, I mean, I know some of those issues, again, have been difficult issues among us. One of the proposals I suggested when we're doing the bylaws, I and other individuals have suggested, was the possibility of addition of other individuals to make it a broader board rather than removing anybody, and that we would look in the areas where we were the most needing, and we do it that way. And we felt that we had legal advice behind that. Anyway, it didn't happen. So maybe we can have that discussion another time. But one of the things that I believe we have, I mean, when I just came to this country, I was a bit naive. I went to Brooklyn to meet a politician that represented a variety of, you know, where the largest Haitian community was. And I sat down with him, and I wanted to work out a plan with him where I can bring the Haitian community into the political process. And what I found out very quickly is that this guy was not interested. There were about 10 or 20% of people voting, but they were voting for him. So he was not interested in bringing more people. And I think that's part of our problem, that they have vested interest, that if people see that outreach actually might have a result they don't like, if the result might change the political reality, there might not be much behind that, you know, in supporting two outreach. That being said, the board can, as part of the discussion we're having, set up some standards that, that every station would have, you know, to their committees. I mean, we do have outreach committees, and maybe put that as one of our priorities, and see, and you know, maybe follow through to see what kind of, how many meetings are taking place, what results are we getting, and the stations that are doing well, you know, what lessons can we learn from them, and so on.
I'd like to win.
Dave, can you put me on a set? This is Lydia.
Yeah, you haven't spoken much, so why don't you go before me?
Now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Unless you want me to first.
Well, no, the only thing I was going to comment is that this speaks to the political divisions in the network as well, which we have to take into consideration, meaning that I know on our board at the KPFK election, a person of color, a woman of color, who raised the issue of the CPB incentive as part of her campaign speech, as it were. And clearly, it wasn't sufficient to sway people, because people are very tied still to the factionalism within Pacifica. So if we do have a motion, I think that it needs to to address that, that we have to rise above the factional infighting and differences and think about the what's best for Pacifica.
Yeah, I'd like to go. For one thing, I want to address that and say one of the problems is that people, it's not just a matter of saying it, people have to start acting it. So it's one thing to say rise above factionalism, but then if every time votes come down, you get the same factional things and the same gotchas. If people aren't willing to actually work to get the people they've been on the other side of the vote from what they need, then that's just, you know, it's just pretty language. On the language, but I take your point absolutely. On the language front, the whole issue of diversity, from what I understand, the idea of diversity was something that was introduced to displace concepts of racism and white supremacy, and indeed to make those discussions be more comfortable. And analysis I've seen by various anti-racist activists suggests that diversity really undermines the original goal and sort of puts out of the way the fact that it was, you know, that the agenda was anti-racist and opposed to continued white supremacy. So maybe that's something that needs to be raised in what we're talking about, and hopefully at the meeting. But maybe some of these issues are sounding to me like this is something we need to really address at this board meeting, at the March board meeting, because it's interacting very much with all our bylaw stuff, all our, you know, our CPB funding, and all the rest of it. We clearly haven't done the job that was needed to achieve the diversity that was required by the CPB on our board. We've got 3 months to do it, so... in addition to asking the executives to figure out what all the outlines of the problem are, I guess this is something that should get added to those list of priorities at the board meeting, which is how are we going to get this done? Because clearly it could have significant financial impact and it's got a bunch of other impacts, so maybe this is an immediate theme that needs to be at the board meeting.
Absolutely.
We move to the next item, Dave.
May I say something?
Yeah, and then we're at time. Go ahead.
I just disagree. I would like to hear some other suggestions to, if we have to pick one thing that we're going to have the discussion or the debate that Greg had proposed. I would like to hear something, some other subject, perhaps something to do with our programming. That's just my thought.
I'm not saying exclusively, by the way. I'm just saying, you know, well, I'll leave it there. We're at time. I think we should move the agenda unless someone wants to continue this.
Is there any outcome that I could note from the before we move on?
The outcome I understand is that we've asked the executives to provide us with more information, and I offered to include that in the working group discussion about the board meeting.
Okay.
Do people have anything else to add to that?
Well, I have a motion, and I think I just might. And my motion would be that in recommending and forwarding this to the working group, that we ask the working group to come up to it with a recommendation on what is Pacifica's policy on the issues that will be under discussion at the March Board. And I think that working group ought to come back with a product, and that product would be a recommendation, a motion, or a policy. So I don't think we should just leave it as a discussion. We need to have an actual product that is produced from the discussions we've had. So to sum up, my motion would be that we send it off to working group, but ask that that working group come out with a concrete recommendation or policy statement around those issues. Now, we can choose, fill in the blank, diversity, race, nationality, whatever nomenclature we might want to use. But I think it's important that we stay focused.
Point of information, Dave?
Go ahead, Sarf. Will you finish speaking, Lonnie, before...
I said that would be my motion, that we instruct that working group to work at.
Before your point of information, I just want to say, Lonnie, this working group was a working group to organize the board meeting, and so I don't think it appropriate to assign it the task of coming up with a policy statement. I could see another group formed for that purpose, but... anyhow, that's my own feeling.
I thought we were going to fold this one into that working group.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
No, my intent when I had said that was that the working group on the board meeting would look at this as one of the issues that would be scheduled for the PNB meeting. The question of what policy statement the PNB might eventually come out with or that the coordinating committee might put forward is a separate question from whether or not and how much we would be dealing with it at the board meeting and how much time we would allot to it.
Sarf,
what's your point of information?
My point of information is that true that the working group product is going to come before the coordinating committee and the coordinating committee is going to pass that on to the Pacific National Board?
That was
agenda.
the plan, yes.
Okay. What
was that last comment?
He wanted to know whether the intent of the working group is that it would be coming together with a draft proposal for the structure of the board meeting, that it bring it to this committee, and then from this committee it would be presented to the board. And I said yes.
And then at that time, I think that the working group maybe can have some kind of a preliminary recommendations or thoughts on it, and they can bring it before the coordinating committee, and then we can take a look at that time and come up with some kind of a recommendation for the PNB.
Dave, can you put me on the stack?
Yeah, we're going to have to extend time if we're going to stay on this.
But that's all I wanted. That's all.
So do people want to extend time on this item?
I move that we extend it 10 minutes.
Is there an objection? Okay, go ahead, Lydia.
Excuse me. I suspect that the committees of inclusion this time are going to have to become really serious, and that on our board agenda, which we didn't have a report from them, I don't believe, at this meeting, is that perhaps is one of the bodies that needs to be relevant in relation to developing a policy about this.
And in fact, in the original motion that came to this committee, it said that we could refer it to the COI. The reason it came here was because we were concerned that the COI wouldn't be up and running in time.
Another point of information.
I'm sorry, hang on, Lonnie, I didn't hear you. What?
They're not very active. Like, who would we refer it to, you know?
Right, well, that's why the board agreed to send it to coordinating, and then once COI got active, we were empowered to refer it over to them.
Another point of information, Dave.
Go ahead.
The COI usually is formed at the local station board levels.
Right.
And we have not, I don't remember if we have formed the COI committee at the national level yet of our own.
The national doesn't form it. It's the locals that do it.
Locals that do it. So which committee do we send it to? Each station has its own COI committee with one director.
Ray, do you want to comment, or Lydia, do you want to comment on this? Meanwhile,
yes,
I'll look it up.
Maybe I will.
Can you hear me, or am I muted?
Yeah, no,
yeah,
we
Ray, go ahead, Lydia,
yeah,
and then
I'll...
Ray.
Wait, who's first?
You and then Ray.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a There is a body made up of the directors that sit on the COI, as I understand it. And that becomes the PMB entity through which things get channeled down to the local station. Is that correct? That's actually a question.
Well, I can read it for you.
Yeah, read it, because that's how I understood it.
Hang on a second. Here we go. There shall be established in each of the Foundation's radio station areas standing committees of the board to monitor underrepresentation of communities in their respective radio areas. These committees of inclusion, that's interesting that they said monitor the underrepresentation. These committees of inclusion shall include one director and three LSB members from each radio station who shall be elected by their respective LSBs and such additional individuals as both four shall choose by majority vote. The committees of inclusion will monitor both station programming and staffing in consultation with the LSB, et cetera, et cetera. They will do this, they will do that. All station managers and committees of inclusion, and that's why it's plural, will report to the board and their respective LSBs quarterly. The board shall query and monitor radio station areas with identified underrepresented communities and any plans for addressing these underrepresented communities' increased participation. Where necessary with due notice, the board will suggest and or direct managers and committees to implement these specific managers. That's interesting. It says we direct the managers, not the ED. The board will assist and encourage station manage. Oh, excuse me. The board will suggest and or direct managers and committees to implement specific measures to improve the status of underrepresented communities in their respective radio station areas. The board will assist and encourage station managers and committees of inclusion in finding new ways to improve recruitment efforts in their respective radio stations. So the upshot of all that is there is no such thing yet as a national committee inclusion, but we did, I think, have an ad hoc body. Isn't that right,
yes,
Ray?
Yes, that's what I was thinking about.
Well,
I know there was
something. Ray, can I say something?
Yeah, please do.
As the local committees, as you say, that was the intent originally, as they were meeting, as the national board was dealing with some of those issues, it became very clear that there was no national coordination, that there were no standards set nationally, so that that body was created so that the individual from the director was elected by the local board to sit on the local committee was selected to be part of a national committee. And the goal of that committee was to coordinate, to report, you know, and know what's going on nationally on the different level. And then after a while, that committee was also charged with one of the specific things was to set up standards for the training across the board, and look at the national issues such as hiring of national coordinator, the Blue Ribbon Commission that would advise on the broader issues, and so that became the province of the national committee. Now there was nothing that says that national committee could not include in itself local board members, but it never got to that level.
Go ahead, sir.
Maybe there's a motion in order here that we recommend to the Pacifica National Board that at the March meeting that they get one director from each signal area, just like we had the last year and the year before, and create that coordinating COI committee at the national level, that they can look into these kind of things.
Look, just as a question, might that get modified to suggest that the board elect those directors that were selected by each station LSB to serve on the national?
That's fine. Either way. That's fine.
That's what was done.
Yeah, that's fine, and we can make this motion here and recommend it to the National Board at the March meeting.
Okay, do people want to discuss this motion further, or can we go straight to a vote on it? Okay, in the interest of time, is there any objection to a motion brought by the Coordinating Committee to the PNB to the effect that the PNB should create a National Committee of Inclusion comprising the locally elected PMB directors on their local committees of inclusion?
Point of information?
Yep.
We just selected our four people last night, so there's a minimum of 20 people on this?
No. What we're saying is there are local committees of inclusion. We're saying there will be a national committee of inclusion that will comprise, i.e. consist of, the director member from each station signal area that was elected by their local.
Exactly.
And can we say the affiliate directors if they want to join it or not?
That's a good point. And
didn't have them.
Actually, you know what, maybe it should be that just that the board form a national committee of inclusion and we can deal with its composition. Comprising that and national affiliate directors if the board elects them.
Yeah, okay. How about that? That's fine.
Unless it's something way, sorry, Dave?
Yeah?
Last time around, I believe it was the position of the affiliates that these would be more like internal questions within their own board, so that they didn't necessarily want to be part of that committee. So maybe that might change. And that's why in last year, the affiliates did not have an individual on that board,
committee.
But do we want to mandate, do we want to say that they
Exclude
can
them.
If
no.
they
okay.
choose?
But Dave, the only thing is that they don't have these, we have three local station board members and one director that's elected by STV, and it wouldn't be fair for the person they're coming from a affiliate there to.
Well, yeah, but you can also argue that this issue of race and inclusion is sort of a critical issue throughout the community radio movement, and that it might be useful to have affiliate directors participating.
This is Rick. Can I?
Point of information.
Okay, we're going to be at time in basically
that's
a minute.
My motion.
So Sarah's motion. Go ahead. I heard Ray, and then I heard, I think, Mary.
Yeah
point
maybe that would be an amendment that we could say that they would be made up of director. The director, you know, the elected director on that committee, on the local committee, and one affiliate director if they choose to participate. That would leave it up to them.
How about one affiliate director?
Okay. Did I hear Mary?
Well, I was trying to clarify the language. So we're adding and one affiliate. So this will be the language we're talking about, and one affiliate director if they choose to participate.
Right.
So there would be one. Okay.
Okay. That's
it.
Can you reread the motion as you have it?
Okay. I have that the PNB create national COI comprising the locally elected PNB directors and one affiliate director if they choose to participate.
I have a question. Lydia, if they choose to participate, or Dave, you had said if they're elected by the board.
So
they're elected by the board.
Let's think about this. It's
elected or
They have to be elected by the board.
Yeah.
If they choose to participate,
elected
by the board.
Okay, let's see. And one affiliate director to be elected.
If they choose to participate, to be elected by the board.
Right. Okay,
Is there any objection to the motion?
No.
Sarv has declared that there is no objection.
No objection.
So we can move on.
Time is up.
Everybody is quiet.
Okay, so now the next item on the agenda is, hold on, let me get back there. The Freeland motions on board meeting calendar and planning. And so just to summarize them, because they're long, one of them deals with changing the, basically, what I had said earlier, I forget whether it was before we came on stream, but my understanding is that provisions in the bylaws that are in the form of a rule of order can be altered by a two-thirds majority vote of the board with notice as a special rule of order. And so the way he wrote it, he had this actually, I'll have to look whether he had it, I think he had it as a standing rule or something, but he was proposing a calendar that went out 3 years that altered the dates of board meetings so that we would have no meeting in D.C. in the teeth of winter and no meeting in the sweltering summers of New York City.
Or Houston.
Do I need
to
read?
How about Houston and Hurricane?
And I think that may have been in it. Do I need to read those motions?
No.
Please don't.
We take the whole thing.
Let me call this to everyone's attention. A change doesn't actually happen, I believe, until like 2 or 3 years down the line.
No, it's for the next 3 years. It says, be it resolved, the Pacific National Board hereby adopts the following standing rule. The attached projected calendar be officially adopted as the rotation schedule for the next 3 years through January of 2009, that within 30 days of each annual meeting in January, the PMB shall, through mutual consultation of its members, extend this rotation calendar 1 year through the January of 3 meeting years hence, etc. This thing also says that the resolve that the PMB will vote during its April quarterly meeting to approve and request the delegates of each signal area meet in April to approve an amendment to Article 6 of Pacifico's bylaws to substitute so that meetings do not take place 3 times in the same signal area or until a meeting.
Hello? Hello?
Uh-oh.
What happened?
We lost Dave.
Who'd we lose?
That's probably his phone charge, because that happened.
Yeah.
Well, he'll figure that out.
Okay.
What'd they do, just cut him off?
Yeah, that happened to me.
Sorry about that. I dropped off.
Oh no.
Basically, it calls for a change in the language of the bylaws to make it simpler, give some flexibility, and it also calls for us to schedule the meetings for the rest of this year. That's the motion.
I move to table both his recommendations to the next CC meeting.
I second that.
Is there any discussion on that? Hearing none, is there any objection? It is moved.
When you say both, you're talking about the Ken Freeland PNB meeting and the Ken Freeland standing rule for PNB meeting parameters?
Oh.
Those are the two.
What did you mean by that?
I would like to consider... Well, okay, we can wait.
Wait, when did you say to table it to, Ambrose?
To the next meeting of this committee.
Okay.
Okay, so is there an objection?
No.
Now, is that both or just the one?
Just the
both.
One on the calendar?
Both.
He said both.
Okay, good. Okay.
Okay, without objection, we'll deal with that at our next meeting. The next item is the motion to invite LSB chairs and the amendment that chairs submit a written report to the PMB that's been approved by their LSBs. Who's bringing this motion?
It was on the agenda, and it was on our board packet that we got. I am not sure who brought
it. I'm sorry, what was it again? Which one are we looking at?
This is the motion that LSB chairs are brought to all LSB meetings. And I did.
PMB meetings.
Oh.
I did, but I do want to qualify that, is that it was never my intention for them to sit at the table with the rest of the PMB for throughout the session. It's too awkward to have them constantly commenting. I did intend for them to have, reports, and I happen to think that that reports, very minimum, like 5 minutes or something, is really important. That was not my intention. My main intention was to have them there so that they can follow through on so many of the things that have to do with LSB follow-through, which is constantly dropped. It's one more piece of the puzzle, and to have interaction with each other and with the other PMB directors and become familiar with the other stations and so on and so forth. So I found it very valuable when I was the lab chair, and it was critical because this year in particular, because we are going, whether we want to or not, are going to be dealing with a lot of bylaws amendments.
Can you clarify, is this the motion that calls for the LSB chairs to come to every meeting of the PMB?
If it's that motion, I mean, that's what I put forward, but mine was really short.
Motion is this?
It sounds like it was Lydia's. I took it from the minutes that Mary sent me.
But it was in the agenda. It was in our agenda.
Right. I mean,
motion
I had
invite
sent it,
LSB
I had
chairs.
Sent it around, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
to
and
all P and B
meetings.
Well,
I can't hear when two, three people talk at the same time, please.
No, it just said, motion to invite LSP chairs to all P and B meetings. This was on the agenda for the January meeting.
Teresa Stack, please.
Yeah, and Dave Stack, too.
Ambrose Stack.
Okay, so...
Ray Stack.
Okay. Teresa, I'm going to go later. Ambrose.
I want to be on, too.
Ray, Mary, I'm going to put myself after the others. Go ahead. Teresa.
I think it might be nice, or good. I think it might be good for... If we decided to have a PNB meeting where we had, let's say, two GMs come, it might be appropriate to have the two chairs come, and it might actually foster them working together. If they have to defend their direction of a station, for example.
Against assault?
Otherwise, I am opposed to having them come, especially if they don't sit at the table, because there have been times in the past at our PNB meetings where we have been so rushed where the GMs didn't even give reports. I mean, I remember Dwayne feeling kind of rolling his eyes because he came and there wasn't even time to have him give a report, let alone a chair. And if our meetings are that, just unstructured, you know, just out of control, that we don't even have them give a report, or, you know, just even, I mean, more than a five-minute written report, that's just not enough, I think, to justify having them, you know, spending $1,000 for transportation and food and housing. I just don't see the point in that. There's got to be some more work that we expect them to do than just even a five-minute report. So I think we need to give some serious consideration as to how this fits into the agenda and where we're going with it.
Ambrose.
LSBs are part of this board. The chair of the LSB should be in attendance at our meetings. And I have a motion, really. A motion to invite LSB chairs to attend in the PNB meetings. Period.
I think that's already a motion.
No, this is a substitute to this thing.
Okay, so just say it again.
So this one is confused because this one says motion to invite LSB chairs with an amendment that chairs submit an LSB approved written report.
Those are two different things.
Yes, but here is one motion with an amendment. On the form that Dave sent me.
So you're moving
I have
to
a substitute motion that we invite the LSB chairs to attend PNB meetings, period.
Okay. That's a substitute motion. Discussion. Next, we had Ray.
Well, personally, I'm preempting myself. I would support the other motion because I think that we should be clear that although there are plenty of reasons for the chairs to be present, I like to hear the report. I like to be able to question people as a board member and have discussion with them. One amendment I would have, though, would be that, for example, the way we handle different views at WBAI was not just to have that report be approved. The way we've done it in the past, was to, although, by the way, I don't know that the majority of the board would approve that at the AI, but my personal view would be that there would be a minority view, so that if there's a strong minority that disagrees with some major point of the board, of the report, that point of view would be presented also.
You would present
a minority?
So that the chair of the local board would present a report, also include that report and some strong dissenting position on some major aspect of that report.
Yep.
Dave, can you put me on
my motion doesn't call for a report.
Mary?
Yeah, two things now. If Ray is making this as a motion, I think I need to get it clear what he's moving. We've already got a substitute motion. We're kind of stacking up amendments and substitutes here.
I would speak very much.
My motion is at apply right now. So
yeah, well, your motion is what we were talking about, so I would like to speak to that. I am opposed to this on two grounds, at least. Yes, the LSB is part of the PNB. That's just it. The PNB is made up of nothing but LSB people, except for the couple of affiliates. And to single out the chair as having more weight than the members that were elected as directors seems to be unduly hierarchical, and also flies in the face of the whole concept, as I understood it, of what the bylaws were trying to do here. So why does the chair need to bring a report about what the board is doing? We have the directors who can do this, and for the cost of it is an additional reason, which I just don't think warrants it. And at least a couple of the chairs told me it was nice that they, but they just thought this is really a waste of money, because a whole lot of the time when there's executive sessions and so forth, they're not part of that, and they're not part of a whole lot of other things. And what are they really there for? You don't need to fly somebody in so they can give a 5-minute report. I agree with Teresa, and I just don't see. If there is a problem with communications that Lydia was talking about, I'm not quite clear what problem when she was on the LAB. Of course, I would point out, too, that that's before we had bylaws, and there was a purpose for the chairs to be there. But I don't think that purpose is there now. We have duly elected directors.
Yeah.
Dave, you want to put me on
yeah,
the back?
Yeah, I'm next, and then you, Lydia.
On the Me Too, Dave.
And then Sarf. You know, the way it used to be before we had the change in administration was that the host LSB chair would give a report and be present. And in the spirit of what we were talking about earlier, the sort of less is more concept, the idea that we can't do everything at every meeting or we end up doing nothing because everything gets short shrift. I think that what we should do is, I can see the point of having the LSB chairs come to one meeting and possibly the January meeting as orientation for the year, and getting together on what the priorities for the year are going to be and what the issues are. I agree completely with Mary. We have four representatives from each signal area. I also agree with Ray. The chair represents the majority, is supported by the board majority. That's how they got to be chair. That board majority has at least two and often three representatives on the national board. So to add another voice from that faction seems to, from the majority, seems to me to actually end up diluting the effect of people who are representing non-majority pluralities. And also, you know, just the amount of time, I just don't see them having, for the amount of money and the amount of time that everybody has to spend, I just don't see the input matching in value. So I think a meeting where we really looked at, okay, that relationship, spent time on it, that's fine. I'm very much opposed to having them at every meeting. And the last thing I'll say is there's a reason that the bylaws provision said that the chair cannot be a PNB member. And it was to basically have that separation of authority. So every LSB has four people going to the PNB. Those four people were elected by that board to be a conduit of information between the two. The chairs got plenty on their plate in the local meeting, and I wouldn't want them to become primarily concerned with the national piece. So I would agree to once a year, but I'm opposed to every meeting. Lydia, then Sarf.
Well, I like the question to be separated so that there's first a vote as to whether they can come and separately whether there should be a report.
Well, the substitute motion before us already excludes that, so you would want to vote to substitute down.
Go back to the original.
Okay.
Go back to the original. Is that all? Sarf?
No, I think all areas have been covered. I'm ready to vote.
Okay.
I would like to say something also.
Go ahead, and then let's vote.
I would like to say perhaps the four, I mean, we did have a minority report. We had our chair make a statement, and then we had one of our national board members say, well, I don't even think I'm in, am I in the right places? That doesn't sound like my board at all. Perhaps the four national board members should make a report on the status of things at their station
mm-hmm.
instead of the chair.
Well, that's a nice motion.
Question?
make the board members do some work.
There you are.
Okay. Any further comments?
Another report.
Well, but we're canceling one.
And that's better than the usual, Greg. Usually we have a working group and a another committee and another
point
report.
Taken.
And another report.
So we're ahead of the game. Don't tempt fate.